Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
And we talk about vision, and I was just like, how do I start this today, Lord? And I just kind of wanted to just celebrate some things and put some things before you that have happened, but also some things that are coming down the road, and just to celebrate the goodness of God. Because how many know, when you position yourself and you put yourself in the path for God to use you, for God to show up and speak to you, He's going to do it. And He's going to make His way known and reveal Himself to you. And so I was just thinking about prayers earlier in the year. God, we just want to make ourselves available. And we want to have a voice. We want to impact our community. We want to show the love of Jesus. We just want to be really practical. And June, July, and August, we were a distribution point for fresh produce, which we distributed 72,000 pounds of fresh produce, went through this parking lot, which is pretty incredibly awesome. Have received some phone calls, and there's a possibility that I was hoping that we'd get a call this week, but it didn't happen. But hey, are you guys available? And we were like, oh yeah, we're available. If you want to use our parking lot, man, do it. And so maybe it'll come. But I do know, as long as produce is available in October, we're going to be doing it again. It may not be as big as a full truckload, but to be able to be a light and be hope and communicate Christ in tangible ways in our community. So just kind of keep that on your radar. When I think about vision and I think about the heart of Jesus, I can't help but think about what's going on with missions here at Life Point. And I've talked about some of this already in previous months, but through generosity and through the heart of missions of Life Point, we've been able to raise all the monthly support of our missionaries. So all our missionaries are getting the same amount of resources. Some of them are getting a little bit more that have a really personal connection with us. But by and large, across the board, we did that during a season of a pandemic. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think about that, and as you know, here in a few weeks, I hope to have the opportunity to introduce you and for you to hear from Pastor William via technology in our service. But Pastor William is the pastor that we served his church in Soacha, Bogota, Colombia area, Soacha, when we were down there in February, which seems like eons ago, right? But we were there and served at his church, and God just, I've really felt like the Lord spoke to me about, hey, you need to look at a way how can you invest in this church? How can you support this ministry? And he was a taxi cab driver by day, preaching on weekends, discipling, you know, in the evenings or whatever, and just really felt like, hey, what would it take to release him from taxi cab driving and let him, empower him to do what you've called him to do, Lord? And so talked with our missionaries there, and they were like, well, it would take about this month. And so since April, in the beginning of a pandemic, we've been able to take on Pastor William and send him monthly support so that he can do the work of the ministry. Because how many if you're like an Uber driver or a taxi driver, when the city is shut down because of a pandemic, you're not driving very many people around. And so now he's able to just give himself to the work of the ministry. Isn't that awesome? Because your faithfulness. We're in the process of looking at taking on new missionaries who have a call of God and are in the process of going to the land that they've been called to. We'll be talking about that here this month of being able to bring them on as new missionaries that we're supporting. Now, check this out, all right? This is like, if this doesn't get you excited, your wood's wet. All right? In 2019... Life Point's, for the year of 2018 or 19, Life Point's faith promise, we gave just call it $15,000 towards monthly support. For the year, we gave $15,000. Oh, that's all right. That's cool. But so that's 12 months, all right? Check this out. In 2020, 8.5 months into our year, we have given your generosity, your obedience, your response to what the Lord is speaking to you, we have given $19,500 to missions in the middle of a pandemic. Isn't that awesome? I mean, if you're comfortable, just like slap your neighbor's leg or something. I mean, just like, that is incredible. Listen to me. All of 2019, 15 grand, 8.5 months into 2020, 19.5. That's a 35% increase in missions giving, and we're not even done with the year yet. I mean, I'm just like, hello, that's a better touchdown than the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring. Some of you are like, well, hey. We're still celebrating the Super Bowl. Anyway, in the last, 6 months, think about people that have been baptized, people that have come to faith in Christ. I think about just the discipleship that's going on with our kids' ministry and our student ministry. It's awesome. I look in the room this morning and there's new people in the room that weren't here 6 months ago. I look in the back and we're in the process of building another media booth because it's too crowded in there and we're, because of the pandemic, we can blame it on that or whatever, but it was something that we needed to do anyway, but that we were needing to increase online presence and online presentation because we all know that if you listen to the worship set online, it sounds a lot, it just makes you want to be back in church. All right, because it just doesn't sound the best. So we're in the process of updating all that stuff and making it so it's like, I can listen to that because it sounds like I'm standing right next to Pastor Steve if I'm listening online. Because it's Jesus come quickly. All right? But anyway, so we're in the process, and you're seeing some of that, and it'll be in place here hopefully in the next couple weeks. But and adding to the tech area and all of that, is about vision. All of that is about the advancement of the kingdom. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 with me, and we're just going to look at this kind of as a launching point. We're not going to dive deep into Acts 2. I just want you to see the heart of the early church. It says this in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. That's about growing. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the numbers day by day those who were being saved. And what we just read is what some would call the birth of the church. When the church stepped onto the scene and heaven invaded earth a little bit more. And it's a result of those early believers heeding the two goes of Jesus. The first go you see in Acts chapter 1, the second one we read in Matthew chapter 28. Both of them are, or at least one of them is very familiar with us, but the first go that they heeded was the go and wait. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says this to them in verse 3. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait For the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I don't know if you're like me, but I would have probably been a little bit tempted. Well, man, we have work to do. There's a world to reach. I better go because we don't have the technology that they're going to have in 2020. So we got a lot of people to reach. We got a lot of people to talk to. We got a lot of places to go. We better go. But Jesus said, no, go and wait. How many of you are comfortable with waiting? I don't see any hands. Amazing. But then you see what happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. I love what Alton Garrison in his book, A Spirit-Empowered Church, writes. Alton Garrison has been one of our key leaders in the Assemblies of God over the last couple decades. But he said this, at Pentecost, an amazing and dramatic thing happened. Those who believed in Jesus became the place where heaven and earth met. That where you go tomorrow, that when we assemble in this place, and people from the outs that aren't, never been here and are showing up here, that they would have this encounter, that because of the Spirit's work in your life and because of your hunger and your pursuit of God, that would be a reality. What happened when the church was birthed in Acts 2 would be a reality in your life too. That, man, this would be a place where heaven and earth meet. And then Jesus said this, go and make, Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is about taking the transformational power of the resurrection of Jesus to each other and to our neighbors and to our globe. George Buellert said this, transformation is not a destination. For congregations, it's not a place of arrival where the transformation journey can be declared as over. It's an ongoing journey. Congregations do not transform once. They are continually transforming. And if we refuse to transform, then we just lock the door of the church. Because the Spirit calls us and beckons us to be transformed. And I don't know about you. I said it last week, man. I am glad that this is not the finished product of what Christ wants to do in my life. Amen? And I look out at you. I love you all. But I'm glad that is not the finished product of what Jesus wants to do and how he wants to transform your life. Amen? You're not convinced. So, I pulled a group of individuals together a year and a half ago. The group size has changed a little bit. Some of them were new to LifePoint. Some of them have been around a long time. Different generations, different lengths of following Jesus. And we just begin to look at our church and look at where we were at and what we were communicating and how we were communicating and where we thought we were going, and just begin to really dissect it and really create a vision statement for who we are today. Because the church today is not, we're at a place today where we weren't at 6 years ago. LifePoint's at a place now where we weren't at 10 years ago or 20 years ago, because there's things are changing. Things are happening. But aren't you glad the Word of God never changes? Amen. Man, I'm so glad about that. And so one of the things we did is we just really hashed out and talked about our vision statement. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. We're going to unpack it over the next couple of weeks. We've talked about this. You've heard us mention it throughout the year. But that we would, that this is the cry of our heart. And I pray that it would be the cry of your heart as well. That when you're like, man, I just really feel like I need to pray for our church, but I don't know what to pray about, pray this. That we would be a church that is authentically pursuing God, engaging each other, and impacting our community. I think about it, and I can't help but get excited, because it's about not sitting still, it's about moving. It's about the pursuit of God, which is the compass on the screen, or you can look at it up at the wall. That there's this pursuit. There's engaging with each other, which is fire. And how many know the best conversations and the best meals happen around the campfire? Right? I mean, so it's this idea of a gathering place and coming around, and I'll unpack these a little bit later this morning, but then impacting our community. It's not about putting a life point flag on top of the mountain. It's about putting the kingdom of God on top of the mountain and letting the kingdom of God impact lives. It's carrying the message of hope. We are going to practically break down those things, as I've said, in the coming weeks, each one of those in the coming weeks. But when I think about it, I can't help but hear the prayer of Sir Francis Drake echoing in my heart. And his prayer was this: disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we've arrived safely because we sail too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we've ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord. To dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of the land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength and courage and hope and love. Amen. Disturb us, Lord. Why is vision important? Because if we don't function and if we don't direct our lives by vision, you're going to get stuck. And the moment we get stuck, you begin to manage. And the moment you fall into management mode, you start playing it safe. So I could go in a lot of different ways right here, but I'm going to just kind of plow through some thoughts real quick. Because we've been walking through this process for a year and a half, and I know this, we're going to do it again in in the next 5 years, we're going to do it again, because things are going to change in the next 5 years. I mean, you think about what's changed in the last 6 months and how fast that has happened and how wow, crazy. But the church is different today than it was 6 months ago, right? The church is different today than it was 5 years ago. The church is different today. I'm not just talking about LifePoint. I'm just kind of, church in general is different than how it was in 1950. Any of you that were around in 1950 is a little bit different? Uh-huh. It's not all, you know, again, Scripture doesn't change. The methods may change. The Scripture never changes. We're anchored to that. I think about even in this room this morning, the number of people that are new to LifePoint in 2020. You have hopefully seen it over and over again in the Gospel of Mark as we've walked 16 or 6 chapters into it now. But what did Jesus come preaching and proclaiming? The kingdom of God, right? Over and over, you see that statement over and over again. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God I proclaim to you. And we want to see the kingdom, his kingdom manifest in our lives in an authentic way, in a way that is genuine. So let me just talk to you real quick about vision. What is vision? Vision is the ability to courageously explore possibilities. It's adventure. And so we're stepping into a moment of adventure. Vision understands who we are and what we are and what we are uniquely designed to do. Vision is identity. And your identity is not in what the world says of you. It's not what culture says of you. It's what Jesus says of you. That identity has to be louder than anything else that you hear and that we hear. It's what Jesus says about us as a church. Vision answers where we are going and why are we doing it. It's directional. I like what Marshall Goldsmith said, what got us here won't take us there. Todd Bolsinger in his book, Canoeing the Mountains, said this, the world in front of you is nothing like the world behind you. We want to make sure our ceiling becomes the next generation's floor. We want to make heaven more crowded. I love it every time I go by the life wall out there and I see more voltage being spent. Because another light bulb's gone in. I want to make sure that we're about helping people see Jesus more clearly. Vision is the ability to imagine life beyond present boundaries. It's the potential. You look around the room this morning, and you look at the gifts and the talents and the abilities that are represented in this room. Y'all, we can accomplish way more than we could ever think we can. Vision is based on truth, but transcends current reality. It's capacity. Vision unites people around a common plan. It's unity. Vision gives people clear focus on an intended destination. It's priorities. Vision always entails change. And you know what change brings? Growth. And I don't want to stay this Steve that I am today in 2021. I want to grow. And I don't want LifePoint to be where we are today in 2021. I want us to be beyond where we are today. Man, I celebrate 35% increase in missions giving right now. But in 2021, 2022, I want us to look back and go, we're grateful for that, but look what God is doing now. Vision involves risk and it invites criticism. And that gives us perspective. Vision is memorable, it's inspiring, it's ambition. It's relevant. That brings passion. Vision pushes against the status quo, and that produces strength. And vision is bigger than your ability to achieve, and that produces expectation. What else does vision do? It provides a legacy for generations to come. You look around the room this morning, and I see adults. I see parents that have kids down the hallway. I see some sitting next to your students, or maybe you have grandkids in the room, or maybe your grandkids aren't coming right now. And you're like, man, I'm praying for my grandkids. I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying for my neighbor. Lord, that our ceiling become their floor because they're encountering you. It flows out of God's unique plan for us at LifePoint. It's scripturally based. There's scriptural anchor points to it. It's limitless because God's sovereign. It serves the needs of others. It makes rooms for others. It's people-oriented. It expresses a shared hope. That's what vision does for us. But as we talk about this morning, LifePoint was birthed in the mid-50s. There was four ladies that got together and began to pray, and they felt, man, there needs to be a Spirit-empowered Pentecostal church in Valley Center. They began to pray. They found an individual that was willing to come and pastor, and LifePoint Church was birthed right about 1960. It was our goal that one of the original four is still alive today. She's 104 years old. Eldine Shaw, we were hoping to have opportunity. Actually, we took a crew out to do some filming, and because of COVID and stuff, the family was like, yeah, we better not do that, which is totally understandable. But to think that one of our pillars is still around. So I don't know why I'm still around. Well, you're still around. You're still praying for us, right? Yeah, okay, then we'll take that. That's why you're here. Pray for us. But we have to understand our DNA. And I realize in this room, there's a lot of people, maybe even the majority, over half the room, doesn't know a whole lot about our past. And so as we launch into this series, we wanted to introduce to you some of the individuals who have pastored here in the past and have them speak to you about the vision that God placed in their heart and how that is a part of who we are today and where we're going in the future. Go ahead.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
When I think about vision, I think about this idea of ministering to the person on the right, all the way around to the person on your left. It gave us a global concept that our ministry was where our feet are. And we began to dream in ways. We thought, what could our little church do?
Pastor Joe really drove home to us two principles that became a part of our lives and that we saw here at the church. Every believer, a minister. Every believer, a minister. So we all have a ministry to carry out. And secondly, to do ministry without excuse. Never let any building or room or not feeling qualified, never let that stop you from doing ministry.
I remember specifically that I was still 25 years old. I know when we came, the building size was not big, and I know the congregation was not large. But honestly, those were not the things, we saw them with our eyes, but in our hearts, our spirits told us that this was a place that was bursting with spiritual potential.
And I'll never forget, in 1990, a missionary came to speak here, and he was a special kind of missionary. He was an architect. But we needed a sanctuary because the church was growing, and we didn't know exactly what we were going to do. And he said, what would you like to do with all this ground you have, all this property? And I said, well, we really need a sanctuary. It wasn't long, and he said, do you have any poster board? Do you have any scotch tape? You got a pair of scissors? Yeah. And in 2 hours, he had built a model that looks exactly like the building we're sitting in here right now. Only one problem. We don't have any money. Little did we know, a storm would come through Valley Center, and some of you may remember it. We always say, well, that was the day we clocked the Holy Spirit at 106 miles an hour because we got a straight wind that came through town and it ripped the roof off of part of the church. Because of that event, began to do some remodeling in the church. And as we prayed, we felt led that it was time to go ahead and begin to move ahead on the plans and the model that had been built.
And during that time, we were Valley Center Assembly of God. This congregation was known as that. And we looked at that and said, that doesn't really name our vision. It just names a location of Valley Center, an Assembly of God of our denomination. And with that, actually, it began to be in the heart of my wife first, in the heart of Beth, to change our name. And we looked at the name Life Point. What would it mean if we could be a point of life to our community and to be a point of grace to the community of Valley Center? That was one of the major things that we wanted to do in our vision was change the name and change the, if you will, the narrative of what we were in the community. And this body of believers caught that vision. That led to our VBS, which we did in our community across the street here in the park, and numerous people just pouring out to help and volunteer doing life in our community.
To pursue God authentically, to engage one another, because that's one thing that early on in Valley Center, it was all about relationships.
We decided to start a Bible Institute called Life Watch Bible Institute, and Life meant to live in fullness every day, live in the fullness of Christ every day. And we push that vision with our kids. And you have several adults here today that went to our Bible Institute. And, and numerous people in ministry, and God just allowed us to pour into those kids and train and work and disciple them. And so those things begin to happen. And as a result of that, we were able to impact the community even during difficult times or whatever was going on, because our folks really understood the thought of, let's be a life point to the community. And what I see is the amazing fruit that now is continuing, that I just believe that there are great days ahead for LifePoint, because I see this vision. It just continues, this powerful influence.
My days here in Valley Center still affect me to this day. And the neat part about that now is you look back, and that's the advantage of looking back, you see God's hand and how He worked and how He connected all the dots.
Now, you know that the stages of harvest are quite predictable, that you begin by the difficult work of preparing, and then you plant, and then you persevere and wait out the storms and the lack of rain, and then there's that glorious day when you stand and look and say, I'm about ready to participate in one of the most bountiful harvests I've ever seen.
Continue. Use your life message and understand that this vision of impacting your community and doing these powerful things, that's what you were born again to do, and God has powerful things ahead for this body.
The journey of this church is not marked by one season or two. It's marked by the long look, the long reach of what God has determined to do through this church in this city.
So dig deep in this vision and let it burn within you, because it's going to affect generations that you may never see. God bless you.
Isn't that awesome? Thanks to Cal and his team for doing all the work on putting that video together. They did an awesome job. And so over the next really 4 weeks, we're going to be breaking down the aspect of our vision statement to be a church that is authentically pursuing God, engaging each other, and impacting our community. And then we'll take the last Sunday, October 11th, and do a Propel Sunday. And through the coming weeks, we're going to be casting some vision of things that we're going to be doing, things that we need to do. And some of it involves facility renovation. Some of it involves mission stuff. Some of it involves discipleship things. And we're on Propel Sunday, we're just going to take a special offering and say, what will help us get us there? Because we know that eternity is long and time is short. So we want to step into this moment. Because, see, it doesn't matter a person's demographic. It doesn't matter their upbringing. It doesn't matter their political position. I think there is weariness in our society right now of trying to filter through and wonder if things are legit. If what I'm reading, is that true? What I just heard, is that true? You know, what's the spin on that? I mean, there's a weariness. Have any of you all felt weary lately? I mean, it's just like, I'm just climbing a hole, you know? But Merriam-Webster defines authentic this way, and I love it, as you lay it over what we want to be about. Worthy of acceptance or belief. Listen to this, conforming to an original so as to reproduce essential features. Man, you know what? Who are we trying to conform to? Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Steve, what should we do? Be like Jesus. Steve, who should we follow? Jesus. Steve, I'm confused. Go to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Made or done the same way as an original. Not false or imitation. True to one's personality, spirit, or character. LifePoint, let's be a church that's authentic. Man, I didn't say perfect, because we won't be perfect, but we can be authentic. we can be stepping in that direction. It's been said, direction, not intention, determines destination. I want to be, and I want you to be, a Jesus lover and follower 7 days a week. To be, in the words of John 15, that we would just find ourselves abiding in Christ, connected to Him. And in that process of being connected to Him, you're producing fruit, we're producing fruit. And when He needs to trim us a little bit because He sees greater potential than what you're producing in yourself, we're like, okay, God, trim me. It's okay, because I know that that is going to produce something greater than what's going on right now. Help me to see and have that perspective. Why? Because one person put it this way: we aren't changed by the promises we make to God. We are changed by believing the promises God makes to us and walking that out. So I encourage you tonight or tomorrow morning, whenever you do your devotions, or if you've like, man, I've never done a devotion, Steve, I don't know how to do that. Well, grab this on your way out. And again, if we run out, we'll make some more. There'll be some more available next week. You don't have to worry about playing catch up. Just don't stress out about catching up. Just get into His presence. But grab one of these and begin to have time with Jesus every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's 15 minutes, being in His presence. And then use this journal to begin to record what God is speaking to you, what God is showing you, what God is impressing upon you, what you hear God saying to our church, what you feel like God is asking you to do. Because, you know, when you watch, I think of Lewis and Clark, when I think about, you know, journaling and their great expedition as they made their way across the states, or what we call the states now, right? And they're writing notes. You begin to write notes of what God is saying and what God is doing to you, in you, and what He wants to speak to you. So take that, and if you have a spouse or a kid that's not here with you, go ahead and grab one. If we have to order more, we'll order more. But begin to step in there. Our life verse for the day, and I'm almost done. Worship team, if you would come. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 12 says this: "And from the time of John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time." Jesus is talking here, and the context of what's going on is that there's this great multitude of people that are following John the Baptist, and now those multitude of people are now following Jesus, and they're pursuing Jesus, and Jesus is likening them to an army that is surrounded and invading a city to capture that city. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. It's figuratively speaking, in that people were so thronging to hear the gospel, they were so pursuing Jesus, that they resembled an army trying to besiege a city. Thus, and the violent take it by force. The people entering the kingdom were not violent literally, but that they were urgently pursuing it. They were eager to see the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. And it was so overwhelming that it was like they were attacking a city, beating down the doors to enter. It paints for us a graphic picture of enthusiasm and excitement and desperation that was generated by John the Baptist and Jesus' teaching, and people were hungry for truth, and their mindset was, man, I will not be kept away. I will not be kept out of the presence and the promises of God. I'm going after them. It doesn't matter what happened behind me. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. My eyes are set. My compass is locked in. I am pursuing Jesus. You're not going to do it perfect. You're going to miss a day. You're going to miss it. You know, you're going to have things come up. Again, it's not about your perfection, it's about your direction. Are we becoming more like Jesus. And in the process of becoming more like Jesus, engaging with people, sitting around the fire, if you will, doing life with them, sharing with them what Christ is doing within us, and receiving from them what Christ is doing in them, and then growing and advancing the kingdom, if you will, staking the kingdom's flag in the mountaintop, saying, Jesus, you're the leader of my life. You're the leader of my home. Plant the flag over our church. And may your presence and the movement of your Spirit be so strong. Yes, even over Valley Center. Bam. Even over Wichita. Even over Kansas. Even over United States of America. Yes, Lord. Even over the globe. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Look, man, we're not trying to build a human thing. We're building a kingdom thing. Because that's what will last. As it's been said, the church isn't built on the names or the faces of a few. It's built on the sacrifices of the many that are pursuing Jesus. Would you stand with me?
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.